This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we got a great show lined up here for you. Today, we're going to talk about cars, and in this case, the best used performance cars under $20,000, because that seems to be the price range that the average workaday Joe and or Sally can afford. To help us talk all about that is Brian Moody, executive editor of autotrader.com. You can also go and Google best used performance cars under 20K for Auto Trader, and you will probably find this whole story that we're going to talk about. But since it's radio, sit back, relax, and we'll tell you all about it. How you doing, Brian?
Good. I will describe in grand detail the visuals so that you don't have to hear it.
Oh, well, I'm curious, are you going to go into like the colors of these cars? Like, I'm looking at this one. It's like, oh, this one is saffron. Well, what if you don't know what saffron looks like? I don't know what saffron looks like. I mean, you know, it's like we've lost the audience.
I like magenta. I'm going to go with puce. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, jeez. Well, so.
Also, cornflower. That's a good one.
Oh, jeez. Well, what are some of the best used performance cars under $20,000?
Well, like you said, you know, $20,000 is a good price point because it's like, if you can reasonably pay cash for your car, $20,000 is not, at least pay the bulk of it, is not an inordinate amount of money. But also, I realize most people can't do that. So if you were to finance a portion of it, say you had $3,000 to put down, your payment's going to be low, you know, 200 something, I think. I'm right. Kind of guessing off the top of my head. So it's like a lot of fun for the money. Kicking off the list is the Ford Fiesta ST.
Yeah.
That's a good one. It's about 200 horsepower, and, you know, it's one of those little hot hatches kind of along the lines of the Golf GTI or the Civic Si. It's just a little bit smaller than those. Mm-hmm. That's a good one for under 20. Also, the 2012 to 2018 Fiat 500 Abarth. Pretty quick little car. Small, like the Fiesta, but, you know, you can get them for, when we say 20,000, we don't mean 20,000, like, that's the price. I mean, well under 20,000. So right. In some cases, it could be 15, it could be 10. It's just a list we came up with of cars that are hot and used.
Well, hold on. Let me tell you, I own a 2015 Fiat 500 Abarth. They say not, even though it is spelled A-B-A-R-T-H, they say Carl Abarth. It was how he said his name.
There you go.
So, and I agree. I happen to love this car. This is the second one we've had. My wife drives it all the time. Every time I get behind the wheel, I go, this is just a hoot every time.
Right.
The sound of it, the
and
performance,
60,
you know.
You're 60 in 6.6 seconds. And so to get that kind of performance for, you know, under 20 grand, I mean, that's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
Yeah, I agree.
And you have one, so you can attest.
Well, and by the way, like you said, I think we sold her 2012 with 39,000 miles on it. We got $12,000 for it. But it was a fully loaded leather interior,
yeah,
moonroof, Abarth, which was the performance version of it. They are just a different animal. You can buy the non-Abarth version, which is the non-performance car version, but this is the best-used performance cars under 20K.
Right.
You can
so
buy those
for... you're
going
to spend the money...
Yeah, right.
Why not spend an extra... I mean, I don't know what the difference is between a non and the performance model, but it's a couple $1,000s, is my guess.
Yeah, it's a few $1,000s in the early years, and as you get newer and newer and newer, it's going to go up a little bit. But these things have like a window sticker of like $30,000. And if you can buy something, you know, like, and the next one we bought, by the way, we bought a 2015 and 2017 that had 1,400 miles on it for $14,000.
Wow.
So it was half the price of the window sticker.
Yeah.
The car was literally almost brand new. So
not great for the person that bought it new, but
no.
Great for the people like this who are looking on our list and going, well, what can I get that's a blast, but affordable.
Right, fun. And by the way, that's what Auto Trader is all about, by the way, is to be able to find those deals where somebody else has taken the loss. All right, hang tight. Let me take a break here. We are going to find out about the coolest performance, best used performance cars under 20K. And Brian Moody's going to help. He's the executive editor. He's a real car guy, believe it or not. Not just a pencil
pusher.
They're
not doing. And Moody.
We'll take a break and be right back. It is The Drive. Don't go anywhere.
Had no worries. Staying single was the plan. Didn't need a steady man. I had it coming.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, it is The Drive. Of course we feel good because we're talking about cars. In this case, today we're talking with Brian Moody, executive editor of Autotrader.com, the best used performance cars under $20,000. Autotrader.com/all of what I just said. Okay, so we ended on the little Fiat 500 Abarth, which I own one and I love it, and we've had zero problems, even though they're said to be unreliable cars. We've owned two of them. Since 2012, not a single problem.
So. I've had the same experience. Well, we had a couple of those at Auto Trader as long-term cars. The Dodge Dart, they don't make anymore. And the Chrysler Pacifica, all great cars, zero problems with those cars. So I feel like in terms of reliability, they're kind of turning a corner. That's good for both the new buyer and for the used buyer. So kind of good news all around there.
Yep. I wouldn't disagree with that because I'm an owner. All right, what else? The S2000?
Yeah, it's a controversial car. I know a lot of people love it. I don't love it, but I think it deserves to be on the list anyway because it has such a big following. And 240 horsepower from that engine is impressive. I just don't like how high it revs. It's just not my thing.
See, I happen to love that, and I happen to also love the S2000. So I think you're spot on, and I think those are going to appreciate over time. They're going to go up in value. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree on the list, not because of my personal liking, but because I know it's probably what you're saying is true. So it's on the list. It's just not one of my personal favorites.
All right. What else?
Honda Civic Si. Now, that is one of my personal favorites because when you can get that much performance from a car that you can drive every day and it's going to be reliable, I mean, come on. That's a must-have right there.
Well, as you know, people say, what is it about Subaru? Love is what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And that's so true, but I think that's the same way with the Honda Civic. People that own them love them, and they've done something so right that people that own them can go, I love my car. Because my attorney,
I agree.
Actually, somebody stole his, and he bought the newest one, and his was like 4 years old. And he's like, oh, my God, I didn't think they could make it better, and they did. And I mean, that's a huge thing to say from a consumer standpoint, that the car that they love so much has been made even better and even loves it more now. It's like, you know, that's a rare thing. So hats off to Honda for that.
Yeah. So check this out. So it's a 201 horsepower car. So that's decent.
Yeah.
It also gets 25 miles per gallon. But listen to this. So remember how last time we were talking about, I was in Geneva and we go to the auto show and stuff.
Right.
I got in this taxi cab. Right after I talked to you, I get in this taxi cab and this guy's driving me around and I'm like, just out of curiosity, what kind of a car is this? And he goes, oh, it's a Chevy Malibu. And I'm like, really? And he's so proud of it. Like, oh, this is the last Malibu. They don't make Chevys here anymore. They're not going to sell them. And I said, well, what made you get this car? And he says, it's got a big engine. And I'm like, big engine? What size engine? He goes, 2.4 liters. So big. And I was like,
that's Europe.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
That's true. But that's what the Si has. Civic Si has a 2.4 liter engine with 201 horsepower. And you're still going to get 25, 26 miles per gallon. I think that's one of those best of all worlds kind of cars.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny, too. And that car, you would think it should get actually better fuel economy. But really, that is the key word of this car, is a performance car. And if you just get the regular Civic, you'll see the fuel economy is much higher. But the key word here is performance. 200 horsepower.
But think about this. People always use the word efficiency, right? But efficiency means a lot of things. Porsches are efficient. They're just choosing to use their efficiency toward, you know, performance and handling. They could choose to use their efficiency toward great gas mileage, but that's not what Porsches are about. So they're efficient cars. Sports cars are usually efficient. It's just they don't usually split the line as good as the Honda Civic Si does.
All right, it's on the list. Give me one more in the next 30 seconds, and I got one more segment with you. The best performance cars under 20 grand.
This is an obvious one. Mazda Miata, 2016 to 2017 Mazda Miata. You can get those for under $20,000.
All over
155
the place.
Horsepower. Yeah. This one, it's not about straight line performance. It's more about the overall experience. I think that's a great one to put on your list for sure.
I would agree with that. And the nice thing is they've been making those cars for so long. You can buy one for $3,000, you know? I mean, these are fun little cars.
You're right.
You know?
You get a good one for 10, honestly.
Oh, exactly. And they make them even with retractable hard tops if you get up into the newer years. I agree. All right. You can check out the full story of best used performance cars under 20K at autotrader.com. We're going to be right back with more of Brian. He's got some opinions on whether it's not a good time to buy a Corvette C6 as, you know, there's a new mid-engine one coming out that may change the values of the older ones. We'll find out more on the other side. It's The Drive.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor, and our show is brought to you in part by the new Kia Telluride, the 2020 Kia Telluride. Give it everything, Kia. That's a nice SUV.
It's a great car. Yeah,
I can't wait to drive it. Brian Moody's joining us, executive editor of Autotrader.com. So we blew through the performance car segments, but we're going to end right here talking about a performance car. But
I got another performance car for you. Yeah,
exactly. Is now a good time to buy a C6 Corvette? What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, and here's why. Because the same thing, listen, cheapskates like me and you, what's it always come down to? Well, how much? I mean, I can get whatever I want, but how much? I want it for, here's what happens to me. I watch TV and I see some service or some product. I'm like, oh, that sounds amazing. And they say, call now and you get $500 off. And I'm like, oh. I was thinking about paying $500 for the whole thing. Oh, no, it's not going to work for me. So, you know, what can you do?
Right.
But with the Corvette C6, so this is an impressive car. This is, you know, somewhat newish, but this always happens with cars. The older you get, the more they're worth. The new ones are worth kind of a lot. But when you get into that in-between, you know, those in-between years where they're just kind of like used cars, you can get a C6 for about $15,000 right now.
Wow.
And that's a lot of car
for
the price of a new, what could you get? A new Versa? I mean, come on.
Right.
You know, you get a Corvette, right? I mean, I'm not saying anything wrong with the Versa, but geez, you know, 2005 to 2007, you could get one for a relatively low price. The LS3 in that car became standard in 2008. That's a good engine. And so that's 430 horsepower in a Corvette for under $20,000.
Now,
how can you go wrong with that?
Here's the funny thing. The Corvette will get 28, 29 miles to the gallon on the highway. And people think, oh no, it's a gas hog. I mean, they're fantastically efficient.
Right. And so that's why you see a lot of these guys that have them, they kind of cruise them out to those show and shine,
right,
or out to like Sturgis or those kinds of things. And they're reliable enough, like you said on the previous, the Miata, they've been making the Corvette for so long. A lot of those parts they've been making for quite a long time. It's not necessarily the most technologically advanced car, but it's a lot of fun. It's lightweight. It's affordable. And you get a V8 powered front engine, rear wheel drive, American performance coupe, for, like I said, the price of a brand new Yaris.
Right. I don't think that the people
say it like that. You know,
I don't think anybody looking at a Yaris is going to take their second choice as a Corvette or vice versa. You know, but here's the deal: the new one's coming out, the new mid-engine version of it. They've had a lot of spy shots, and now it's starting. They're leaking information, or information is being leaked. I don't know whether they're doing it or not, but it's going to be an amazing machine. There's no question about it. Evidently, some crazy 900 horsepower, something like that. Nobody actually knows quite yet, except General Motors. But I do have a feeling that's going to severely damage the value of the, like the last, like you said, 10, 15-year-old ones. Yeah, it happens.
But even right now, if you look at a 2010, let's say 2015, it's not the same, you know. And remember, the C6 is the one with those cool, clear headlight covers.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
I think those are cool. Z06 is going to be a little bit more, but when you talk about a newer Corvette, 15, 16, 17, those are, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, that you can get a 430-horsepower V8-powered Corvette for $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. And that's going to be a clean one. I don't know. I think that's a great deal. I think that's worth worth checking into. I think you should get one, and you should trade your Viper for it. That's what I think you should.
I could trade my Viper for like 6 of those, just so you know. All right. Here's one more.
Well, okay. I mean, since you're tossing money around, just buy me one.
I know, right?
I mean, you know.
I bought the kind of the special one of one package. Anyway, real quickly, in about 2 minutes, Jaguar I-Pace is the best new electric vehicle. What? You said that.
Yes, it is. It is. I said that, and I'll tell you why. Where electric cars are going wrong is where they're trying to make it like a great value. Well, guess what? When it's a great value for the guy that buys one in San Diego, guess who's paying half the bill? Us, the taxpayers. So no thanks. I think when it makes sense is when it's a luxury car. Porsche, BMW, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Tesla, luxury cars. So the I-Pace, I feel, is the best of all those worlds. Whereas a car like the Nissan Leaf, very efficient, very affordable, great commuter car, but it's not the car you buy because you feel moved, you know, by passion to buy that, right? Mm-hmm. But with the Jaguar I-Pace, it's an electric car that you get because that's what you truly want. The interior is done right, the performance is right, and the range is right.
So over a Tesla, who is, you know, there's a cachet to buying a Tesla for those who buy it. It's a status symbol. You think that this is a much better car because what? It's backed by Jaguar at the end of the day?
It's backed by Jaguar. Right. And also, don't you think that, like, and my personal opinion is, I think there's more cachet in owning a Jaguar than a Tesla, to be honest with you.
Personally?
I'd rather have a Jaguar.
I agree.
In my driveway.
I agree.
Yeah.
I happen to have a Jaguar in my driveway. It's an old 2002.
So what's that worth?
You know, it's a 2002 XJ Vandenplaw. Happen to love that car, and I don't know why. I just feel good every time I drive it. Even my dad the other day, I took
him
for
history.
Yeah, and my dad says, this is such a lovely car. My dad's British. Of course, it's a British car. Brian Moody, thank you so much. You can find all this information, autotrader.com. He's the executive editor. Auto Trader. I've been using Auto Trader since it was just a little magazine on the newsstands, and today it's a media empire. Thank you, Brian.
Later.
All right. We'll be back with more right after this on The Drive.
It's Dodge Performance Days, where that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burned rubber. With Dodge Charger and its available best-in-class 485 horsepower, Dodge Challenger Hellcat Red Eye with up to 797 horsepower and 707 pound-feet of torque. And the powerful 7-passenger Dodge Durango. Hurry in for great deals now at Dodge Performance Days. Ward's Large Regular Car Vehicle Segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And joining us now is BJ Colleen, and our show is brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Brembo Brakes. BJ Colleen is an automotive expert and journalist and has been on my show for many years. That amazes me. You have been doing the show a long time with me.
I know.
Well, thank you.
Well, more important, we're friends, though. So that's I love being on the show, you know, but more important, we're buddies.
That's true.
And that means more to me than anything else. So
that's true. But as you know, this industry ebbs and flows and has difficult times and good times. And, you know, it changes the way people spend their money. And, you know, Brian from Auto Trader was on just now. We were talking about the best performance cars under $20,000 used. Key thing, in case anybody didn't hear that part, which I said it 15 times, but and he was talking about the Mazda Miata. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, I heard the whole segment actually, and I was very impressed. And I wanted to chime in because I heard you guys talking about the Miata, and it just so happens, coincidence of all coincidences, that I'm actually driving the Mazda Miata, the 2019 Mazda Miata MX-5 RF right now. So uh-huh. How well planned was that?
Well, it's a pure coincidence, as you know. But I have to say, if you look at the Miata and the lifespan of it, what is it? 25?
30 years.
30 years.
Celebrating 30 years, yes.
30
yes.
freaking years they've been making that little car. It's almost like the 911, where it just hasn't barely changed. Slow, little, tiny, itty-bitty refinements along the way. And it's still just a fun little car to drive. They've never made it like, let's stuff a big old V6 under the hood of that little itty-bitty. You know, it's four-cylinder, of course. They always seem to be a little bit underpowered, which gives the tuners somewhere to go with the thing.
Yes.
But there's nobody can complain about how comfortable they are for a work-a-day vehicle, just to be able to, you know, if you don't need more than two seats, really comfortable, reliable cars, and then take those down to the Gymkhana course, and OMG. More people learn how to race in those than anything, I believe.
And they do, and they have a lot of club racing events for Miatas, and Miata is just an absolute car, that most fun car you can be in for that price and that size. And, you know, there's some competitors out there. You got the, you know, the new Fiat 124 Spider, which is basically the same platform
same
with a different
thing.
Engine gearbox.
Right.
But, you know, you've got other cars that are a lot more expensive than the Miata. But I'm tell you, bang for the buck, it's always been at the top of the market. And honestly, this one is no different. And, you know, what's interesting about the Miata is I've absolutely loved the car for 30 years. And I've told this story before where the first time it came out, I was at Motor Trend Magazine and I lived in Venice Beach, California. And it was Memorial Day weekend. And I took the Miata home with me, the convertible, because nobody wanted it because people were going places. And I was single, you know, and young. And so I drove it up and down Pacific Coast Highway and Ocean Boulevard. And I said, I had to go home and park the vehicle. I was exhausted from answering questions about it. You know, what is it? How much does it cost? It's the cutest thing I ever saw.
Right.
And people just absolutely loved it. And I knew they were going to have a hit on their hands. And they've had enough hit to last 30 years. And I'll tell you, Alan, this is the same reaction I get today. I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, that is the cutest little car. And, you know, the Miata looks a little beefier now than it used to. You know, it was more jelly bean shape. It was a lot rounder. But now it's got much more muscular up front, much more muscular back end, hindquarters. And, you know, it's a very aggressive looking vehicle. And I think that's good because, you know, trying to make the car the same thing for 30 years, you just can't do it. But the spirit of the animal is still there. It's that whole Jinba Itai that Mazda talks about being one horse and rider. And it really is. You get in the car and you just feel totally connected to the vehicle. Now, the Mazda Miata that I was in, we call it MX-5 Miata because Mazda likes to call it MX-5, but everybody else will always call it the Miata.
Yeah, but wait. But what does MF stand for?
RF.
Oh, the retractable. Oh, I was going to say that was a bold name.
Yeah, no. RF.
Okay.
You're so bad. There's still a soft top Miata, which can you pull up yourself and lock it in. But this one actually has a convertible hard top roof that's controlled just by a little push of a button, and the top comes up and it drops into a little boot area. And it's just the easiest thing to operate. And, you know, with the other Miata with the soft top, okay, I don't necessarily put the top down. It takes a little bit of effort. You got to try and hook it in yourself. This one is just effortless. It is just smooth. Goes down in 13 seconds, up or down in 13 seconds. And once you put the top down, it's an absolute blast to drive. I mean, I think I had the top up maybe twice when I had the vehicle, when I've got it this week. You know, it just went back yesterday, but I just had a blast with it.
Yeah.
Just absolutely loved it. You know, it's got a good engine. They bumped up the horsepower a little bit.
How much?
You got about 26 horsepower, oh. So you're up to 181,
wow.
Which still isn't, you know, skyrocketing, but you're talking a fairly lightweight car.
No, but that, listen, now it's reaching kind of the fun factor for folks that are used to driving V10 Vipers, you know?
Yeah.
Because power to weight ratio, it's much more than what it feels like. But yeah, when they were like 150 horsepower, it's like, oh, God, come on.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And they only added 3 pound-feet of torque to 151. But, you know, the vehicle is just so perfectly balanced that, you know, this is something that Mazda has always worked on with the Miata, is to have a 50-50 weight balance on this vehicle. And they work real hard to maintain that. And this is just, it's got the sharpest handling, the steering just nice and tight. Everything about it is just fun to drive. It is really what sums up the Miata in a nutshell. It is absolutely fun to drive. There's no question.
Let me ask you, what does the MF package give it?
It's an RF.
Oh, not okay. I thought, wow, this is going to be fun.
I've got to break you of that. It's great.
I know. I'm sorry.
The RF, you know, mostly it's featuring the hard top that you're getting. That's the things. A couple things you're getting is a tilt and telescoping steering column, Smart City brake support, standard rear view camera. Obviously, they all need that. And just a couple of other package options. There's Active Sense package with lane departure warning. So they're getting some of the safety features that you need. The test vehicle that I had was not a manual transmission. It was an automatic transmission, but it had the manual shift mode on it. But I got to tell you, if you're going to buy a Mazda Miata MX-5, get the manual transmission. This car, not that it's not good with the automatic. It was fun with the automatic because if you're in traffic, that's the last thing you want to do is keep shifting all the time. But this car just demands a manual transmission. It's just a sporty car that you want to go out and just shift through the gears real fast. And really, the manual transmissions on the Miata are second to none. It's just almost a one-to-one connection. It feels so connected to the vehicle. It really is outstanding. But, you know, you got beefy 17-inch wheels and tires, you know, I mean, they look really good. They fill the wheel wells. The car is easy to maneuver, easy to park. Not always the easiest to get out of, but if you take the top down, you just in and out, you can almost jump over the doors if you really wanted to. You know, I'm not that nimble. I don't know if you can do it, but it's just a lot of nice features. I love 99.9% of this vehicle. So what's the 1% I don't like?
Yeah.
I just don't like the connectivity system. I think the knob... It's just too many steps to operate how to get the radio station set.
Oh, I'm sending this to Matthew Valbuena. You know it, because that's his job.
I've talked to him many, many times about this, and it's just one of these systems that's not intuitive. And, you know, it does everything you want it to do. It's just you're always taking your eyes off the road to look at the screen. You don't understand where the buttons go. And I've tried. I've been with this car a couple times, you know, I think I reviewed it last time.
Yep.
But it just does not sit well with me. That's the biggest problem I have with this.
You know what? I get it. There's still, you know, the car is too legit to quit. That's all I can tell you. They've been doing it 30 years. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about that and some other car stuff. It is The Drive all across America, the Limpsey Hammer. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. And we love cars. We'll be right back. Try to get mine, boy. You better step back,
freeze, because you don't want none. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor with BJ Colleen talking about the Mazda Miata RF. I did that for you, BJ.
Thank you.
I was calling it something different, but that doesn't fly very well. Okay, our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever, thanks to Subaru. All right, so we were talking about the Mazda Miata. I was going to call it MX-5. What do they call it? I think they call it
the MX-5. Yeah. Unofficially, it's a Miata, but yeah. Because they've got the MX-3 and the MX-5, the CX-5 and the CX-3, they're trying to keep it in the family.
That's all confusing. What happened to good names like Miata? Come on. Anyway, how much money was this thing?
So the MX-5 RF model, based at $34,410. And we had a couple of little optional features. We had this soul red crystal paint that was about $600. And the paint was just cool. It almost looked like a candy apple red. And if you love cars, candy apple red is the color. It had alloy pedals and a red engine oil cap. So that was another $500 basically. Ooh. But $36,325. So it's a pretty good value for what you're getting for the money. And I believe they start around $25 for a soft top model. So again, the new prices are good for the Mazda Miata. But like you guys were talking about, the value of the old models is really good, because I've got two friends that actually bought used Mazda Miatas. Obviously, they live in Detroit, so they're not driving them year-round. But the minute that the sun comes out, that top is down, and they're out having a great time with everybody complimenting how cute that car is. And think about it. A car that can still be considered cute and beautiful after 30 years is really pretty good. And one last comment I want to make is MPG, they say 30 combined city highway. I was getting about 28, 29. So I think it's right up there at the numbers. Good fuel economy, fun to drive. Don't pack a lot of stuff. It's not the biggest trunk in the world, but it's definitely comfortable. And like I said, I love almost everything about this car. Hmm.
Interesting. You're talking about owning a Miata in Detroit with the potholes as big as they are. They can almost drive into the pothole, go around in circles a few times, like a little dirt track, and then pop out the other side. It's like, man, I have a friend that called me from New York City today. And he says, I am done. I'm driving this BMW. It's got these super low profile tires and wheels on them. And the tires are like black rubber bands on the wheels. And every time he hits a pothole, bam, another tire, bam, another tire. He goes, I'm done. I'm buying a Jeep Grand Cherokee. And I'm like, well, if you live in a state where they don't take good care of your highways there. Yeah, I mean, you really got to consider the tires and wheel package that you put on your vehicle, because you're going to be dealing with problems. Who wants to get a flat tire at night? I mean, you're going to hit these potholes God knows when, in a rainstorm or a horrible storm or whatever, and then you're on the side of the road. So that's something to consider.
I did just that, Alan. I'll be honest.
When?
I had a Ford Fusion. This was in Detroit. I was driving. It's probably 2010 or 11, and it was early in the morning. It was raining, and I hit a pothole that was probably 3 feet deep and just totally bent the wheel and popped the tire, and I pulled over because the pothole was filled with water. So you don't know how deep it is, and you're not even thinking about it. You're just driving down the road, and you just hit it, and bam, it just took it out. And so I had to pull over and call AAA, and they said it'd be a three-hour wait. But luckily I had premium, so it was only 45 minutes. But it's just absolutely ridiculous, and I feel bad that people in Detroit have to deal with these kind of road conditions, because it's deadly to your car. It really, really is.
Well, everything wears out faster when it's having to recover from a giant pothole, the suspension, the wheels and tires, and it's just a mess. As a matter of fact, a friend of ours, I just noticed online, is driving the new Jeep Gladiator truck that will be coming out. It's a Jeep Wrangler, four-door Wrangler with a bed on it.
Basically.
Yes, with a small bed on, and they've really done a good job. But I can see why Jeep, if you look at all the brands that are really doing well right now, Jeep is really, really doing well. And it's because
they're such versatile vehicles that they can do everything, and they're making more and more models. And sedans are, you know, they're kind of waning. People are getting into these more SUV type vehicles. So I don't know. You know, I don't think that it's because of potholes, but certainly for those that live in areas of the country that have this problem, I cannot stand driving on bad roads. I mean, I get road rage. I start swearing, and my children are like, "Dad!" Of course, now my children are, you know, 30 years old. They're like, "Dad," you know, it's a little different.
Grandpa.
Grandpa, exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, congratulations. You know, you have another son.
I know, yeah. I have another grandson. I have two now, which is very cool. But no, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to get in the fact that you're heading to New York again to be on TV, right?
I am.
What's going to be on? When's it happening?
It's April 15th through the 19th on ABC with Ryan and Kelly. I'll be showing 4 cars a day. For the New York Auto Show, for new cars, new things, and hopefully there's some real cool stuff. Like, I'm really crossing my fingers about the new Bronco. That's what I want to see. So let's take a break, and we'll do one more segment. BJ, Colleen, Alan Taylor, this is The Drive. Don't go anywhere. The big news from Subaru is the all-new 3-Row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has the interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The all-new 3-Row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details. Well, you're listening to the radio program called The Drive with me, Alan Taylor, and BJ Colleen, and it's brought to you in part by Kia's boldest SUV ever, the 2020 Telluride. Kia, give it everything. I can't wait to get behind the wheel. I keep saying that, but BJ Colleen is here, and we've been just talking about cars. It is the weekend. Time to talk about cars and have a little bit of fun with cars. I am so excited about the New York Auto Show because that is kind of the big show for the U.S. Used to be, BJ, that it was the Detroit Auto Show because it was in Motor City. And then, you know, the Big Apple kind of took over things because of because of the media that is in New York. You know, I mean, that's like you asked me about being on ABC with Kelly and Ryan, and that's a big thing. So big media. So the automakers take their big deals to the New York Auto Show. So I can't wait for that. That's in April.
That will be fun.
Yes,
sir. I don't think I'm going to New York this year. You know, the hotel prices just kill me. I can't afford, you know, $300-$400 a night. It's so expensive to go to New York City.
Yeah, well,
it's crazy.
I stay in a flop house. It's not bad. It's not bad.
You can get away with that. I'm not going down to the Bowery.
You just, you know, you got to pick the fleas off and stuff. It's not bad.
The bed bugs, sure, that's okay. No, oh, thank
I
you.
Eat those. Those are edible.
Yeah. Oh, no.
With some fava beans.
Oh, God. Something else.
What did you want to talk about? Insurance rates of cars? What was that you were telling me in the
yeah,
break?
You know, our go-to source is Autoblog because they have a good staff and they have good stories, and I love perusing them. You know, it's funny. I don't rarely go to anybody else. I'll look at Auto Week and stuff like that. But for the most part, Autoblog's got some good stories, and I always like to give them credit. But they did one actually talking about average the cars with the highest insurance premiums annually. And it's funny because I look at the list and just about over half of the Mercedes-Benz vehicles, which is, you know, expensive cars cost a lot of money to insure, and sports cars cost money to insure. And
sure.
Frankly, everything costs money to insure, so it doesn't really matter. But they said the Mercedes-Benz S560 4MATIC is one of the top vehicles. That's very expensive. It's about $3,500 a year. But if you can afford that car, you can afford $3,500 a year. That's nothing to you, you know. The Mercedes AMG SL63 is, again, right around that same price, around $3,500. But it's a stunning car. You know, it's an AMG. It's going to have performance. It's hot. You've got things like the BMW i8, which is about $3,600 a year, so it's even more expensive. But you're saving that in fuel, right? So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, that's about what it is for my Viper ACR. It's about $325 a month or something.
$325. So you're right in the ballpark there.
Ugh, Yeah.
The Mercedes AMG GTR is 3751. They have down the Porsche Panamera. Now that makes me sad because this is when I win the lottery, that's one of the cars I'm probably going to buy because it's, you know, it's a great Porsche, but it's comfortable also. So I really like that car. The Mercedes Maybach is about 4,000, roughly around 4,000. The Nissan GTR Nismo is about 4,000 also.
What? So,
wow. I know, you know, wow. You think, but I think because they're rare and, you know, it's just, it depends on the material.
Yeah,
so.
But the Viper is the same way. I have Geico, so it's not like I have some fancy insurance thing, but I
you're not with the General?
No, I'm not with the General.
You know, it's funny because insurance is such a scam. This is one of my husband's Scott's favorite complaints, because it really is. You're paying a big chunk of money in the event that something happens, and something happens, you're probably not going to ever get back the amount of money you spent. Think about all the money that you've paid into insurance over cars over the years. You know, I mean, you could have bought a $1 million house by now if you didn't have to do it. And medical insurance and dental insurance and every kind of other. I mean, it's just, it's out of control. And, you know, I don't know where it's going to end. I mean, what's going to be the price of self-driving cars? What's the insurance?
Oh, we don't even want to know about that.
I know. Who's responsible? Because you not driving the car, is the manufacturer going to be responsible? Is the person it hits going to be responsible for walking off the curb? I mean, there's just so many questions that have to do with insurance. You know, forget the cars. Just think about the insurance companies trying to deal with this. I mean, you have two.
Here's the worst part. They have you sign. Has anybody out there ever read all the fine print? No, we don't have time for it. We don't want it. I'd rather cut my face off. I don't want to do it. So guess what? I had insurance. Oh, you got me going. I had insurance claim the other day on something that happened. And what do you think? Wasn't covered. The fine print. I'm telling you what. I was a little bit angry. I did not feel good. I'm a different song. I have to have a different song because I did not feel good. Did you hear that?
That was something angry.
That was, no, it was this. Wow, I feel good. Oh, I did not feel good, so I'm not even going to play that song. No, I'm going to play something else.
Like, I feel angry.
I was angry. I tried to yell at the guy, and the guy goes, I'm sorry. It's just not covered. I'm like, I'm going to cut my face off and blame it on you. All right, BJ, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Hang in there.
I'm hanging by a thread. We'll be back. It is The Drive. There's another hour to go.
The big news from Subaru is the all-new 3-Row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has the interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The all-new 3-Row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hold on to your pants, because this is going to be a wild hour. I'm pretty sure. Well, you never know. George Kennedy's on the line. George Kennedy III, Cartender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, and he has a side hustle at Albertsons as a bagger. I mean, he's an amazing human being.
I don't even know what Albertsons is, man.
Oh, dude, that is so funny. So you're from Boston. It's probably called Vons. Maybe Vons? Do you have Vons?
I mean, we got Stop and Shop. We got Demoulas Market Basket.
That is so funny. Albertsons here over on the West Coast is like, you know, Safeway. You got Safeway, right?
Those might be down near New York. We don't have those.
My gosh. All right. It's a huge supermarket. Huge. Anyway.
Huge, yeah. I always get a kick out of, you know, seeing grocery stores in other parts of the country. Like, I always get a feeling like the Food Line or whatever. I know my brother is down in Charlotte, and they have a Harris Teeter. And whenever we go there, we start yelling Harris Teeter like Derek Jeter.
That's great. I was in Spain, and my wife and I went into this we ask the people at the hotel, we want to go to a supermarket. And they're like, a what? I'm like, you know, a supermarket. And they're like, super? And I'm like, grocery store. You want to buy food? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we went down to the store, which was, you know, I mean, the best we could do there. And it was like, wow, look at all the fish. You know, we're like right near the coast. And I'm like,
yeah, like a fresh market. Yeah.
I'm like taking pictures because it was so amazing, all the different kinds of sea life that was being sold. And this soup Nazi comes running out. No pictures. And I'm like, what the hell's wrong? I'm a tourist. Leave me alone.
You with the health department, man.
Unbelievable. No pictures. And I'm like, it's a super stuff for sale, right? I want to show my friends. It's Facebook. He's, I don't want no Facebook. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is so weird. Anyway. All right. We're going to talk cars now. I have a little travel thing going on there.
Yeah, man.
So as I remember the last time we were on, we had a bit of a fist fight on electric cars. And I just want you to know, I am still not a big fan, even though I understand they're great for when you're going golfing. And I like all that kind of stuff because, you know, I mean, it's like, because you like quiet when you're out in the golf course, not the, you know, it's like you hear those little gas-powered golf carts. No, I want electric. And that's my thing, right? Your thing is...
I'm shocked to hear that you're unmoved by this.
I'm playing with you. I think they're cool enough for what, you know, somebody that wants... Look, you're from the city, right? You're in Boston. You're in the city. I live in the country. The only thing electric I want, it dries my hair, a blow dryer, and it takes me down to the ball when I hit the ball on the golf course. But other than that, I don't want electric. So what do you got to say about that?
I mean, have you ever been in a Tesla Model S?
I have.
I can't call it the gas pedal.
Yeah,
you
right.
Stomp on the accelerator in
yeah.
one of those.
Yeah.
You get rocked into the back of your seat like you're in a Batman ride at Six Flags.
You know what it's like? It's like pornography. It's not real. It's like I want to hear it. I want to feel it. I want to smell. I want the whole experience. I don't want the kind of like the virtual reality 0 to 60 in 3 seconds or whatever. I want to hear it, George.
Remind me never to sit in any of your cars then.
No, it's, well, I'm
not this way, man. Like, if you care about going fast, I understand it's a visceral reaction, dude. I love big V8s. I love, like, you know, German and Italian V12s. I love, you know, my Jeep with its 4 liter straight six. These are all great engines, but like if your whole thing is like trying to get around the track as fast as possible or trying to do like a standing mile or something as fast as possible and you're looking for like an incredible way to accelerate, there really is no replacement on a 0 to 60 level than like a high powered electric powertrain.
Hold on.
Like you're seeing in the Tesla vehicles.
Hold on. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about right here. I want the wild ride. I want it to be visceral, loud. I want internal combustion, okay? Not electricity, George. We're going to take a little break. We'll come back and talk about this. I don't know what he's got going on. He's got to, like, put the crack pipe down. It is The Drive. We'll be right back with more.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Yeah. Yeah. Electric cars. What's that? I don't know. George Kennedy III joining us, Cartender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News Report, and Albertsons. Bag boy.
Yeah, okay.
It's a good thing. Albertsons. Man, when you come back, I'm going to take you to an Albertsons.
Change your mind about electric cars, man.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Look,
that whole Tesla thing I was telling about, what if you had it like, you know, maybe one of the, your hangups is the fact that it's like a new sterile car. What if you had that powertrain of like some janky old hot rod, right? So like, there's this dude in, I think it's like Southern California or something, Jim Belosik. I forget how to pronounce his name, but it's been around for like a year. The guy put a Tesla Model S P85 powertrain in his like 70s or early 80s Honda Accord, right? So he gutted the whole thing, put it on a new chassis, and the whole back end is that Tesla drivetrain. It's like 530 horsepower in this little Japanese sedan, and the thing rips. I mean, the thing dances all over the place because he can barely put the power down. How can you say no to that, whether or not it makes a big growling noise?
No. See, now, to me, that's just fun. That's fun, crazy. That's like having the gasoline-powered bar stools. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah,
right? Some friends of mine did, and they would throw like lighter fluid on the ground and do donuts in the fire. That's that kind of weird, right? And it's like, here's these guys on bar stools going, rain, rain, and doing donuts in fire. You know? That's weird. That's just, and I like the weirdness of it.
Right. And then what's cool is, I mean, think about the applications, right? Like, so I've talked to the guy, Rich Rebuilds, who's cobbled together older Teslas to make new ones.
Right.
And what he said is that it's surprisingly clean to work on. I know it's weird for you and I to get our heads around, but like you go to do this whole assembly and there's like no fluids to worry about.
Right.
So if it's this whole modular platform where you could set like sort of a skateboard layout for your batteries and your drivetrain, you can throw whatever body on top of it you want. So like there's a whole growing segment of people that are electrifying DeLoreans, Porsche 356s. I mean, you name it, and people are putting these, you know, EV drivetrains into these cars and making something really unique.
Yeah, I think hot rodders are going to be the ones that, for me, kind of make it kind of cool and fun, like you just described the guy with the old Honda. And, you know, that to me, that's just weird. That's like monster trucks when they do make them do flips in the air, you know. It's like, I mean, I'm not a monster truck guy, but when you can make like a, you know, a 9,000-pound monster truck do a backflip, that I don't care who you are. That's cool, right? And that's, but it still kind of goes into the, this may offend somebody, but in the kind of the morphodite category, it's just kind of not one and kind of not the other. It's just a weird thing. And I don't know what to do with electric cars yet. Now, hybrids, I like hybrids. I like the hybrid. I think the whole hybrid thing is kind of cool because we've talked about this before. You get a little around town kind of for free without having to do it. But, you know, you need to go on a trip and your engine turns on. Now, to me, that makes sense. But
it is a good catch-all. It's the best of both worlds. There is a setback to be said for, you know, before Tesla had its big batteries and long range, the notion of the EV was that's great for around town, but what are you going to do when you got to go on a road trip? And until Tesla even had their charging network in place, same thing. What are you going to do on a road trip? So you're right. The hybrid situation is great. Plug-in hybrids, I think, are even better because you're able to get more range and beef it up. You know, they just had spy shots this week of what we knew was coming was a Jeep Wrangler plug-in hybrid.
Oh, really?
It's a little bit of everything. It's a Wrangler. It's an off-road vehicle. Yeah. It's electric for getting around town where Jeep is kind of, you know, infamous for maybe not having the best gas mileage, right?
Now, hold on. This makes perfect sense because for the hunter guys, right, they could put it in stealth mode and they have a zero sound and they're out there in the woods treading lightly, treading quietly. Jeep! Brilliant!
I'm sure that's exactly what they thought of when they were designing.
No, really, though. I mean, you own a Jeep. Don't you get that? That's freaking brilliant.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Sure. Now, what's interesting is about a year ago, I was given the chance to drive a prototype for the Range Rover plug-in hybrid. And we were doing some full electric off-roading up in the mountains above Malibu. And it was really cool to do this thing where you're climbing and it's, you know, you're not in a reduction gear.
Right.
You're just laying the power on.
Well,
and then when you're going down the hill,
you know, it's like
you're working the regen braking.
Yeah. It's again, in certain applications, very cool. Otherwise, geeks me out. Sorry. All right. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a break. I want to talk about more with you, but I think we leave the electric garbage in the can. It's the drive.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Well, this is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Kia's boldest SUV ever, the 2020 Telluride. Kia, give it everything. I can't wait to drive that. I keep saying it until I drive it. Then I'm going to go, I drove it. George Kennedy's here. Have you driven the Telluride yet, George?
No, but we're hoping to get it soon up here in New England for a Car Guru's review. No, I'm looking forward to driving that vehicle very much.
I've heard good things about it, so I'm excited about it because it looks really good. Anyway, and the price will be really right, and so there's a lot of, you know, Kia has got one thing right. They've got fantastic warranties. They're making really good vehicles. They're really good looking. They've kind of, how do I say this? Hold on a second. Kind of tribal knowledge. They've put tribal knowledge to good work where they bring a tribe of doers together and they're like, bring the best designer, the best engineer, like the designer from Audi, the engineer from BMW M, the performance division, and the, you know, the engines and stuff that they use come from over here. And it's kind of like now they've got this amazing team and they put all their knowledge together, and they, I guess they call this tribal knowledge, and they create one really awesome machine. And this is what they're doing. They did it with the Stinger. What a fantastic machine for the money, you know, sports car. It's a fantastic machine. And I hope,
we drove that for Car Guru's last fall, and that thing was fantastic. Yeah. It wasn't even the twin turbo V6. It was the base turbo four cylinder. And that thing just was, it's low, it's wide. It's, you know, you say I'm in the city, but, you know, I can get out to some back roads pretty closely. And, you know, that car is just great on, you know, curving up some country back roads.
You know what? I'm going to change because we're talking about Kia. Didn't you just drive the new Kia Soul, which is like all new or something?
Yeah, we just did a review for Car Gurus on the 2020 Kia Soul. That should be coming out hopefully next week or a little bit later. Stay tuned.
Can you, wait a minute. Can you please give us a little preamble on it? Huh?
Right. So, I mean, Kia Soul, the little box, the subcompact box that you probably have seen on the road, whether you know it or not, it's been around since 2009. This is a generation for 2020. And they just know that they have this car that sort of is able to do style and substance in equal quantities and, like, not give up either to achieve the other. And that's what makes this, like, a really fun but also really useful small car.
Yeah, I got to tell you, about 5 years ago, I was driving, I think it was about a 1,000-mile trip in a Kia Soul. And I was digging it. I was rolling along thinking to myself, how funny, this cute little car, it's versatile. And some guy pulls up next to me, and I guess I was not paying attention, pulls up next to me and flips me the bird. And I'm like, what the? Right. And then he just, so I guess I was floating along in the fast lane and I probably should have been in the slow lane, but I was probably doing 80 miles an hour. Right. So I thought, well, to heck with that, you know me, I like a challenge. So he goes, he was in a Beamer. Right. And so I'm like, all right, okay, Mr. Beamer. So I got right on his tail. We were doing like 125 miles an hour through the Grapevine. If you know where the Grapevine is, Southern California, there's cops everywhere up there, you know? And I'm like, whoa, cutting through all the traffic. And the guy finally got off the freeway and I kept on going, oh, there, that'll show you my little Kia Soul. I think I had, I don't know, on like the speed limiter, you know? But you know, it's always been a good little car, you know?
It sounds based on that story like you'd fit in just fine up here in Boston for drivers. But what I've told a lot of people, look at the recent trend in like small crossovers. You have the Toyota CHR, the Nissan Kicks, and those are two cars that are little crossovers that don't even offer all-wheel drive. So, you know, you're getting this sort of feigned notion of versatility, and, you know, sometimes the automaker can charge a little bit more for that. With the Soul, it's got the economy and driving refinement of a small car, but it's got the utility of a small SUV, and it really is the best of both worlds. And for somebody my height at 6'3", you sit a little more upright, but it affords you more head and leg room. And that's for both rows.
Well, you know what? With you and me together, you're 6'3", I'm 5 foot fat. We have like the perfect vehicle. How much are those things, by the way? Have they raised the price any on them? What are they at?
Right. So the one that we drove was, I think, 22, and that was the X-Line trim. The one that Car Gurus recommends was the S trim, which is one up from the base LX, and that's like 20 grand.
Yeah.
And that gets you, you know, you have standard Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, you know, and then you're able to go up a couple more trims and get stuff like forward collision warning and avoidance and all those other fun goodies.
You know what? It's amazing what they can put in a $20,000 car these days, or 21, 2, 3, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, forward collision warning, backup radar detectors, and, you know, what do they call the lane departure warning systems and
yep.
automatic braking. I mean, it's like that stuff used to be, you know, $10,000 worth of options in the really high-end cars that started at like 60 and 70. And today, you know, it's like almost standard equipment in some of these cars. So,
and here's the fun surprise about that car. It's got the cargo space. It's got the features. It's well-priced. It's efficient. And when you're bombing around the city, despite it having a kind of tall, boxy shape, it's so low to the ground, the wheelbase or ground clearance, that it actually handles really well. Like you can get into turns and you're not getting, it's not too top heavy.
Oh, let me tell you, the guy in the BMW on the Grapevine that couldn't lose me, you know, and this was 5 years ago in the previous generation. He was probably thinking, holy mackerel, that Soul can really keep up. By the way, for you, man. This is called Electric Feel. And do they make?
I know this song very well.
Do they make an electric Kia Soul yet? I don't know.
Yeah, they do. They make a Soul EV.
See? Well, there you go. Electric Feel. We'll take a break. One more with my buddy, George Kennedy III, car tender, car gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News World Report. He is a automotive genius. All right, we'll be right back.
It's Dodge Performance Days, where that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burned rubber. With Dodge Charger and its available best-in-class 485 horsepower, Dodge Challenger Hellcat Redeye with up to 797 horsepower and 707 pound-feet of torque, and the powerful 7-passenger Dodge Durango. Hurry in for great deals now at Dodge Performance Days. Warrants large regular car vehicle segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us all around the country and around the world, because our show is podcast later on. You can find that at all the normal podcast places, Apple, iTunes, and all that kind of stuff. Or you can go to thedrivewithalantaylor.com. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru, the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. George Kennedy joining us. Been driving a bunch of cars. He works for all these different organizations and media companies, and tests a lot of cars like I do. I like to get the friends and family viewpoint of the cars, because to me, if I sit here and pontificate, you'll be like, yeah, right, yeah, who cares what you say? But I like to hear what George says. You know what's funny is I have not hardly done my job of reviewing certain vehicles. And I think it's because I actually like to hear you guys talk, because I've driven most of these cars, right? Like the Kia.
Right.
I see that you've been driving the 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee Trailhawk. I drove that.
Right.
Really?
How long ago?
Really liked it. Oh, it's been about 4 months ago.
Yeah. Still pretty fresh in your mind. Oh, yeah. No,
listen, once you drive in them, you know, it's like if you start saying things, it's like little bubbles popping. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But here's one thing I noticed. One thing I noticed about this vehicle. Very, very civilized. Very civilized.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like I drove the Jeep Grand Cherokee Track Hawk is also with 707 horsepower, very civilized until you smash on the gas and it's like all the bats in hell fly out. You know what I mean? So it's pure insanity. I love the way it sounded. But the word that comes to mind for me for the Grand Cherokee Trailhawk was civilized. And that's the thing is when you drive a vehicle and you get out of it and go, dang, that was a nice ride. That's why cars are going away. Sedans, I should say better. Sedans are going away because these SUVs are getting so civilized these days. Even the little, you were just talking about the little Kia Soul. Very civilized.
Right,
you know, it used to be these were little junk box cars, right? But today, the little $15,000, $20,000, what we used to call junk box cars, are now really well, they've been honed and refined, really well engineered, 10-year warranties and things. You're like, what? Yeah, well, I can't go wrong with that. So plus you get to have the utility of it.
You point out the sort of the downfall of the sedan, and it's like I've seen people lament on Facebook about, oh, the sedans are going away. It's like, well, if they could get the job done, they'd still be selling well. And these things do pretty much everything.
Exactly.
You know, you're asked to do so much with these cars, and they sort of act as a four-wheel Swiss Army knife for what you need.
Right.
Specifically Jeep, and if you look at, like, I know your penchant for Dodge vehicles, you look at the Hellcat, the Challenger and the Charger, they're able to make like seven different cars in one. You want a V6, a V8, a supercharged V8, a really supercharged V8, you know, and then for the Grand Cherokee, you've got, you know, a base V6, you've got the Summit, which is their super luxury version. You have their SRT and Trackhawk versions, which are their performance versions.
A diesel.
But then you have the right. You have a diesel, exactly. And so you have all of these different personalities that are able to be built onto one platform, sort of based on the preferences of the buyer. The Trailhawk is my favorite Jeep that's not a Wrangler. Okay.
Why is that?
So it's got the refinement that you just talked about, but then it's got some more of the hardcore running gear that sort of makes it, you know, closer to a Wrangler in capability. And it's got a lot of stuff that you can't get on the Wrangler, like adaptive suspension that, you know, with the push of a button raises and lowers. Mm-hmm. So hop on the highway, that suspension will lower for better reduction in body roll and aerodynamics.
Right.
You want to get on the trail, press that button, it'll jack you right up. You know, you've got a very sophisticated four-wheel drive system with different drive modes that can put power to each wheel independently. And so basically it's this car that you kind of drive around town ho-hum, but when you need it, if you need it, has all these incredible equipment to get off on the trail.
Well, and you said it, and these things are trail rated, and I think probably Jeep is the one that, you know, can kind of they can brag about this, because when they say that, they really truly mean it, and it means nothing to most people. But man, you see these things on the Rubicon Trail and doing things, you know, like that billy goats can't even do on the side of a mountain. And you're like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, it's true, because you own a Jeep and you get it and you know. But I'm really impressed with the fact that they can do that. And you know who else does a really good job of that, believe it or not, is Range Rover. They have a vehicle that is so capable that, you know, I went to Iceland. This is the weird thing about these car companies. They're like, we're going to show you just how amazing our vehicle is. We're going to take you to Iceland and you're going to drive this on a glacier in Iceland. And it's like, okay. So it's like, and then, you know, when you're driving it around town, you could put on your tuxedo and go, you know, like a lot of people in Hollywood do, go to the Oscars and get out of your Range Rover, or in this case, even a Grand Cherokee Jeep. And it doesn't seem out of place anymore. There was a time that would never happen. You know what I mean?
You make a great point, and that's what's really cool is that these vehicles, the Range Rover and the Grand Cherokee, are able to do everything they can, but they don't give up anything in the way of comfort and refinement and cabin quality. In fact, the fact that they're a larger platform probably better affords them the ability to do both.
Right. Let me ask you, how much is this Grand Cherokee Trailhawk from Jeep 2019?
Yeah, so just your regular old Grand Cherokee Laredo would start at 34. This is a little steeper. It starts at 44,295, and you know, options will add, you know, $5,000-$7,000, you know, on top of that. What I love about the Trailhawk though it doesn't look like anything else in the Grand Cherokee lineup. It's got a, you know, red tow hooks, you know, blacked out grill, blacked out wheels,
right,
a blacked out roof so that as you're climbing up the trail, the sun doesn't get glare into your eyes off the hood. It's so, out of everything, man.
Well, and you know what I kind of like too is that, you know, Trackhawk for the racetrack, of course, 707 horsepower. Trailhawk, this one is kind of like the upgraded for the trail. And then you just have the Grand Cherokee Laredo, which is, you know, the street version. My brother bought one of those for his daughter. He said, if you get a scholarship to college, I'll buy you, you know, the kind of the car of your dreams. That's what she wanted. That's what she got. Loves it to death. I think he only paid like 30, like you were talking. And what a bargain. What an absolute bargain.
It run the gamut. Yeah.
Where's the story going to be for this one?
For this one, probably either Boston.com or Car Guru's, TBD on that one.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, brand new story. George Kennedy, thank you, sir. I think
you got it, man.
We have some medications if you want to take. You can go to IHateElectricCars.com and you can join the people that are trying to get off of that kick. Good luck with that, George.
I'm going to change your mind one day, man. I'm going to change it.
We'll take a break. We're going to talk to the president of Brembo when we come back. And I'm going to play a trick on him. You do not want to miss this one. We'll be right back. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
You know, when you guys hear me say this show brought to you in part by Brembo Choice of Champions, you're like, okay. 90% of everybody out there does not know what Brembo is unless you're a hardcore performance driver. Like I was on ABC. I'm going to be on ABC with Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest in April 15th through the 19th. And
they don't even know what a car is, though, Alan.
Oh, geez. So Dan Sandberg, the president and CEO of Brembo, right? So I said, and it's got Brembo brakes, right? And so Kelly goes, what's Brembo? I don't know a Brembo from a Schmembo. And Ryan Seacrest and I, in unison, go, the best brakes in the world. It was so funny, right? I mean, that was like gold and stuff. But it's true. You guys are the crown jewel of the brakes, and everybody wants horsepower, but if you have horsepower, you better match your components and build up your brakes to have the best brakes in the world, too, because otherwise bad things happen. Am I right, Dan?
You're right. I mean, power, you need to be able to stop that power.
That's so right.
But, you know, one thing, you know, I think when you talk about Brembo brakes, a lot of people think about our calipers, you know, the colored calipers that you see, red, yellow, green, lime green, camouflage, whatever. But, you know, a lot of people have Brembo brakes and they don't even know it because their rotors, their discs, if you will, or their drums that they may have are also made by Brembo. It's the quieter part of our business. Mm. But, you know, we do everything from Ferraris to mail trucks.
Come on.
You know, when it comes to rotors, those little mail trucks that you see running around, believe it or not, those are fitted with Brembo rotors.
Oh, my gosh, right? But that tells you right there, because think of the abuse. Stop and go, stop and go, stop and go, stop and go. What are the two things that are getting the worst abuse? The transmission and the brakes. So there you go. That tells the story. I understand, by the way, again, we're talking with Dan Sandberg. He's the president and CEO of Brembo North America. Brembo is an Italian company, and but you have been doing big things in the U.S., opening a brand new aftermarket store, BremboStoreUSA.com.
What is
the purpose of all this? What's going on here?
Well, you know, it's Brembo's first ever e-commerce website, and we really put it together first as a reference. So if you go to BremboStoreUSA.com, you will see all of the parts that Brembo supplies, rotors and pads, just typical rotors and pads that you can replace on your vehicle. And, you know, we originally, as I said, set it up as a reference. So we wanted people to understand what the part numbers were that matched with Brembo's. So, you know, if you had a Ford Mustang or a Chevy Corvette or something like that, or maybe a mail truck, you can look it up online and get a typical, you know, or a minivan or something like that. You go online, right, and you can match up the part number, and you can either buy it on the website and have it delivered right to your house now, or you can tell your garage guy, your garage mechanic, or even the dealer, I want Brembo brakes, and make them go to BremboStoreUSA.com and buy it. Or you can buy it at AutoZone or New Parts online, and it's a great thing, you know, and put them on your car.
You know, it's funny. I mean, there are certain things that are, they fall into this category for me, which is awesomeness. And first of all, safety is a big one, okay? Because no matter how much fun you're having, you smash your head and you're dead, and it's all the fun's over. Somebody loses an eye, the fun's over. Somebody can't stop when they're going fast, the fun is all over, right? So I love the fact that you guys have been such a company that has been seen such tremendous success in the world of racing and motorsport and exotic cars and high-end cars and mail trucks. This is a new one for me. You guys just made it into a whole new category.
And female trucks. And you can't leave them out.
Don't tell me tractors. If you say tractors, you got Brembo brakes with tractors, unless it was a Lamborghini tractor. Then I understand. But no, that's funny stuff. All right, but what about, one of the gals tell me about a new line of performance brakes or rotors?
Yes. So, you know, this website, obviously, again, as I said, rotors and pads.
Yeah.
Also, we have a new set of rotors, which, you know, everybody likes something a little bit different, a little bit fancy. So we have our extra rotors. And these rotors are the same rotors that you would put on your car, at least size-wise, specification-wise, but they're drilled, like a lot of the performance brakes are, give you a little bit extra cooling ability. And they're also coated with a special UV coating that we have. So it's the extra rotor line. And, makes your car look a little bit different, makes it look good, and those are now fully available at Brembo Store USA and at other retailers that carry Brembo.
All right, I got a question for you. Two words that are in your world that are spelled exactly the same, frontwards and backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they are?
Rotor.
And?
Come
on now. A rotor is R-O-T-O-R, so it's the same word spelled frontwards or backwards. What else? I know, it's too... I'll give it to you. You ready? Race car.
Yes.
Think about it. Race car, spelled the same frontwards
two
or
words, though, isn't it?
No, race isn't car is one words? Word.
Oh, okay, sorry.
R-A-C-E-C-A-R, right? R-A-C, yes.
All right. I would challenge that, but hey, Siri.
You're an attorney. See what happens when you're an attorney? All right, I got one more. How do you spell yes?
Y-E-S.
Okay, and now if you put an E on the front, what does that spell? Come on now.
Yes.
Really? I think that is so funny. Spell it.
E-Y-S. E-S.
Right. It spells eyes. Gotcha. I love that. I got you. I did the same thing. You can feel stupid, but I did the exact same thing. Dan Sandberg, you're the best. The store is BrimboStoreUSA.com. We'll be right back.
No one ever said, give it a bit. No one ever said, give it less. We say, give it everything. The world wasn't built by half measures, by the half-hearted. So when we set out to build our boldest SUV ever, we didn't hold anything back. Introducing the all-new Telluride. Kia. Give it everything. Expected spring 2019 in limited quantities.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, joining us right now is my buddy, longtime pal, Josh Hancock. He is the man in Hollywood that matches the car with the character in all things film and television. JoshCard.com is his website. You can find him there. He gets to drive a lot of interesting cars, and evidently, he told me last week he drove the model Tesla Model 3. I have not driven anything but the S about 4 years ago, so I'm like completely out of the loop. I got a little bit of a love-hate relationship with old Elon Musk. Sometimes, like I said last week, the man needs to put down the crack pipe and push his belly away from the bar and stop doing wacky things. But there's lovers and haters, and I'm kind of, I just watch. I'm on the sidelines. Tell us about the Tesla 3, Josh.
Well, I'll make a point about the owners are kind of like the Moonies. They love the car so much, they're willing to overlook a lot of things.
Are you saying that they actually moon other drivers? Is that what you're saying?
They,
the Moonies.
Undeniably, because last week... You did, when you were talking about the Model Y, you know, there was some bashing going on.
I said the next one, when they make the Model Y, they're going to make the Model Who after that. Why not, right?
Their whole line is who, what, where, when.
Yeah, right.
There's going to be five models, who, what, where, when. That's only four. Look, I never liked the S so much. It's a big car. I didn't think the workmanship was worth $100,000.
Right.
It's fast, and that's great. But when you live with it for a while, never fell in love with it.
Mm.
Now, driving the 3 is a totally different experience because it's like driving a sports car.
Mm.
It's very small. It handles better. The power is incredible because you're not lacking in any power when you step up. You know, you step up for the larger battery and the whole thing. So the driving experience is almost, oddly, they keep comparing it to a 911. It handles just amazingly. And with all that power, as we know, you can have an Oldsmobile Cutlass that doesn't handle for crap, but it has so much power, you still love it. This car, I really had a different opinion of because of the handling and the size. That said, every control in the car happens through the screen and two roller balls on the steering wheel. There's nothing else. There's no hard switch for your outside mirrors. There's no hard switch for the tilt and telescopic on the steering wheel. You got to go through the screen and use those two roller balls. There is not a wiper stalk.
What?
Okay. So if it starts to rain, and it did, very oddly, in Los Angeles, you press the end of the blinker stalk, which gives you a wipe, and then the box shows up on the screen, and you have to choose a speed. Well, you know from driving in Oregon in inclement weather or here in Maine, that isn't going to fly.
I think that what happens is they're trying so hard to be different that they are taking themselves to, you know, the pendulum swings, right? We went, you know, old cars and everybody started, you know, trying to make things kind of retro, right? And then now they're swinging so far out the opposite direction into outer space that it's, you know, it's like people want some switchgear, if I can say that.
Well, we learned, if you look at the generations of things that have come back from BMW, Ford in particular, Lexus, they put back the controls for the radio and the heating and air conditioning. Their customer said, fine, I'll deal with the screen, but those functions I want in hard buttons. So on a brand new, I drive a brand new Mustang, I've got hard buttons for those things, and I like them that they're back. But Volvo has gone the other way. They've got a big screen, and most everything happens through the screen. Tesla is the ultimate in this, and for me personally, I don't love that, but I do love the way this car drives, and that's a new one for me.
Well, I'm surprised. You know, normally you're a little more intense. This was a very mellow car review for Josh Hancock. What happened?
Well, usually I'm saying some things and then we get off the air and you're like, you can't say that! Because I do speak my mind often. Look, I'm telling you that these two rollers for me, just not my style.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I'm sure that the age of people driving this car has brought their median age way down. And
so what
they
you're
all
saying is,
the screen.
Right, they made this car for a much younger audience. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'd like to drive the Tesla 3, but I know that Tesla's not going to let me because I don't say nice things about Musk. But anyway.
They don't like you.
Such
they
is life. Like to find him at joshcar.com. Josh Hancock, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's about it for me this week. Josh seems to be ending the show with us every week. I'm Alan Taylor. See you next week. The big news from Subaru is the all-new three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has the interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.